Welcome to the Fitastic Podcast. I am Mike.
And I am Mike.
Mike, I thought you were Micah.
I am okay. Micah.
Mike and Micah. We are two big guys trying to lose weight, live healthier lives, and trying to work up to doing a bike tour. I think what you can expect from our podcast is we're going to discuss the things we've done over the past week, our exercising, our food, and how things are going in the different communities we are in. Micah does Weight Watchers, and I do Lose It. And, you know, we'll just discuss different things that we're going to do to get ready for our trip, and just different thoughts we have on just trying to lose weight. I began trying to lose weight just a little bit over a year ago. My biggest was at 323 pounds, and I'm currently at 92 or 93 the last I checked. I can't really remember. But I'm in the 290s. I've been stuck in the 290s for the past few months, like 4 or 5 months. And right now I'm just trying to get out of that. What about you, Micah?
Well, I started my journey really about a year ago. Just a little bit over a year ago. I started Weight Watchers at 432, but originally I know I was up higher than that. I honestly think I was about 440, and I was just getting sick of it, really just honestly getting pretty depressed about it all. So I decided that I would buy a bike and try and bike my way down to being skinny, and it went okay at first, and then I quit, and then I found Weight Watchers, and since I've joined Weight Watchers, I've lost 138 pounds in about 11 months.
How long did you quit for?
I quit biking for about 3 or 4 months.
Wow.
I just completely gave up.
Wow.
And my weight skyrocketed back up.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was a little bit. Before I decided to try to work to do a 5K. And my weight was going up. I couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong. And then I just decided, you know what, I'm going to start training for this 5K. And then in June, I ran that 5K. And I've just kind of been, ever since that, I've just kind of been stuck. That's why I want to do this bike tour and get this, have a goal in mind.
It's definitely helpful to have a goal, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most important thing, I think, when you're doing these weight loss, you know, is to have a goal.
When I first decided to do bike riding, I actually didn't think I'd even be able to get on a bike. So I did a lot of research on that. I put a lot of commitment into it, and then I was really worried that I would quit, as I did early on, and kind of wasted that money, wasted that time, and those type of things. But having a goal sometimes really does help you focus.
Yeah, it really does. And I was sitting there after I did that 5K, I'm like, okay, you know, I don't have to do all this running every day now. And then all of a sudden it was like, you know, I haven't ran in like 2 weeks. Well, I should go for a run. And then a week later, I haven't run in a week. I should do that. And it's like, oh, what am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything now. So it's gotten pretty tough.
Exactly.
Yeah. And now my goal is just to buy a bike so I can start doing that. But, all right, let's move into our exercise. So how was your exercise go the past week? You're doing a lot of bike riding.
Yeah, I did get quite a bit, though I will say I didn't quite get as much as I would have liked.
Mm-hmm.
One of the shorter-term goals I'm kind of working on, more of a challenge, I guess, than a goal, is whenever I do bike ride, is I want to try and get 10 miles in that day.
Okay.
So
that's a good goal.
That's what I thought. And, you know, I'm trying to...
And it's just small enough to where you can just, you know, it's obtainable within like an hour and a half, right?
Exactly. And so one of the things, too, I'm doing is I'm trying to go car free. So during the summer months now, even into the fall, when I need to take my son somewhere, being a stay-at-home dad, you definitely know this. You definitely are always going somewhere.
We should mention that. We didn't mention it in the who we are. We're both stay-at-home dads.
Yep.
We met through a stay-at-home dad group on Facebook, and we created a weight loss group, and that's who we are. So
this is kind of a spin-off of that, in fact.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, I just want to mention that we're both stay-at-home dads. So, no, you go ahead. Sorry.
No problem. You know, as I say, I'm trying to go car-free as much as possible. And so when I have the trailer, I can pull him along with me, and he loves it. And so whenever I'm going around town, it's so easy to get those 10 miles in just because of the fact that I'm on my bike. I'm not driving my car. I don't even know if my car will start right now. So what are some of the exercises you like to do?
Well, I like running. I really do love running. And training for that 5K turned me into a runner. And before, I hated running. When I was in elementary school in like fourth or fifth grade, I signed up for football just because my friend was doing it. I hate football. I always have. And I was playing it, and I think the first practice, we had to go run laps, and the second lap around, and it was not a very big field. I mean, I thought it was huge, but it wasn't. I forced myself to throw up just so I could go to the coach and say, I threw up. I can't work. I can't do this. And, of course, like any good coach, he said, suck it up and keep going. I ended up quitting because I just couldn't take it. And I've always hated running.
I'm not a runner by any means. That's why I have a bike, is because I do not like to run.
My biggest problem is the fat, because I run and I get self-conscious because I can feel my fat going up and down. And I'm just like, I can't do this. What are people going to think of me? And I just sucked it off, and I got on that trail, and I started to think, you know what people are going to think of me? They're going to think, wow, that guy's doing it. You know, he's trying. You know, he's better than anybody else who's not. And I started running, and, man, it was painful. But I got myself up to that 3.1 miles, and about, I think, the week after I ran the 5K, I tested to see how far I could go, and I got up to about 5.5 miles.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, so that's just short of a 10K. So I think I'm going to try to run another 10K sometime next year, next spring, because I want to be able to start. I want to still keep up with the running.
Well, that's definitely a great goal.
Yeah, I think that'll be one of my short-term goals. And the long-term goal will be the bike riding, but the short-term, I want to be able to run a 10K. Let's see. So, yeah, like this past week, I walked a bit. We went on a couple walks with my family. We went for this walk last, I don't remember what day it was, but it was last week, probably Thursday, I want to say, where we were walking down this trail. We took the kids with us, so it wasn't any major fast pace or anything. It was just relax and keeping up with the kids. This lady was kind of walking down really fast with her husband, and she says, "Hi, boys," to my boys. And all of a sudden, my son, Liam, he just starts talking and talking and talking to her. And you could tell she's trying to keep pace and she's trying to keep going, but he just won't shut up. That was really cute. Maybe we saw some deer on the trail that too, and that was nice. But over this past weekend, we went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and on Saturday, we went for this hike up the one of the mountains there, and it was up to a place called Grotto Falls, and I was expecting, because the brochure that I was reading about it said that it was a moderate trail. Well, I was thinking, okay, well, it just means it's not flat. Well, it means that it's uphill, not flat, definitely, but just rocks and branches and roots coming up off the ground. And
not a Michigan moderate.
Not a Michigan moderate. So we were for the first, I want to say 10 minutes, it was like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? Oh my gosh, what are we doing? But I'm like, you know what? But I know I can do this. I've worked on it. I've lost a lot of weight. I've got the stamina from the running. But it was tough. It was for a long time. I my heart rate was up. I had I could tell that my heart rate was almost to that fat burning stage. where I'm just burning the calories and burning the fat, and it stayed that way for pretty much the whole time. But once we hit our second wind, probably about an hour into the hike, and we were almost to the waterfalls. We got to the path leading up to the waterfalls was the kind of the stream, and the stream comes down, and it's just all rocks, boulders, huge boulders and rocks. Beautiful, just absolutely beautiful. I got to the bottom of it, and I look up, and I can see the falls, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to take that path, that slow, that flat path around. I am going to climb these rocks.
Oh, wow.
So I climbed. I got my shoes and socks wet, whatever. But I climbed up those slippery rocks all the way up to the top part, and that was tough, but I got to the top, and I was just so proud of myself, and I had already hit my second wind, so I felt really good the whole time. And the hike down was probably more satisfying than the hike up, because it was just going back, going, wow, we made it all the way up, and now we're going back, and I feel good. Of course, it was all downhill.
I can definitely understand that. I don't know if I mentioned it, actually, but I did my first half century this month.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so in bike riding, what a half century is 50 miles. It's the longest ride I've ever done.
Mm-hmm. Mike, yeah, I saw you posted that. It was 52 miles, right?
Yeah, I did 52 miles that day to a town called Galena. It's this old town just across the border in Illinois. And beautiful town. But my original goal wasn't going there. I was going to another town. I was going to do about 30 miles. And I got there, sat down for lunch, and I'm like, honestly, I feel pretty good. So I decided to push on, and yeah, I ended up doing 52 miles that day. And I know exactly what you're talking about, that feeling. There's a big hill in Galena that you go down, all the way down to the bottom. And then, of course, to get back, you have to go up it.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures. I'm seeing that. Yeah, I'm seeing the hill.
So my thought is, as I'm approaching this hill, okay, Mike, you're not going to make it to the top.
That is a beautiful town.
Oh, wow. It's a gorgeous town.
My gosh.
But I was telling myself, you're not going to make it to the top. I don't expect you to make it to the top, you know, so don't feel bad if you have to get off and walk. So I'm biking along. I'm huffing. I'm puffing. I'm going. And I'm feeling just about ready to give up. And I look, and I'm like, oh, I'm at the top.
There you go.
And just that same feeling, you know, you feel like you just conquered the world.
Oh, yeah. I felt so accomplished. Yeah, when I got to the top of the just right underneath the waterfall, there was this huge, huge boulder, and I stood on it. My wife was like, "Take my picture," and she pulled up her camera, and I was just put my hands in the air. I'm like, "Yeah!" And it was turned out to be a really good picture, you know. But the next day on Sunday, we were leaving on Sunday because we were just there for one full day. We were there Friday evening, Saturday for the whole day, and then Sunday morning. And instead of hanging out at the cabin, because we had the cabin until 11 o'clock, instead of just hanging out there, we left at 7 in the morning and went to the to another trail called that led up to Rainbow Falls. And it was supposed to be shorter? Maybe just longer. It was supposed to be just a little bit longer than the Grotto Falls by about a mile. So we were thinking, well, okay, well, we don't have enough time because we had an appointment to go see the Titanic exhibit that's out there at 9. So we did not have the time to do a full, you know, 2-hour kind of hike. We just had to go up, you know, as far as we could and then come back so we can make it there in time. And we just said, okay, well, we're probably not going to see the falls, so let's just do it. And that was even tougher than Grotto Falls. We'd actually had a few drinks the night before, so I think it was even tougher because of that.
Yeah.
And it was, man, it kicked our butts. We got to the top. We were like, we're not to the top, but we got to the point where we were a half an hour in, and we had to turn back. And we were just like, oh, yes, we're going to go downhill. Oh, thank goodness. Oh, thank goodness. But I honestly think it was just as tough going back down because the path was literally nothing but rocks, like big, like foot-long rocks.
I'm actually looking at pictures right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's like just it's like that the entire time. We actually at the beginning of the hike, there's this area where it's kind of flat. And you're walking for about 20 or 30 feet, and you're like, you know what? This is actually easier than the other one. This should be just no problem at all. And, oh my gosh. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's just rocks the entire way up. But, yeah, we didn't make it to the falls, but we weren't expecting to. And it wasn't actually the best time for the falls anyways, because it was it's not springtime, so there isn't much water flow. Yeah. But there had been a rainfall on Saturday night, so we were expecting the falls to be pretty big, but we never made it up there, so who knows.
Yeah.
But we, you know, we got our, got a lot of exercise in. We had access to I think there was like five or six different, clubhouses, in the cabin area where we were staying. Like, the cabin had access to it. They actually had a little card that we used that we could take to them. And they had gyms, pools, and, tennis courts and all that kind of stuff. And we were like, well, maybe we should go to do that. But we were just kind of like, you know what? Let's just go for a hike. Instead of going to the gym for 2 hours, let's just go for a hike for 2.5 hours. And it ended up being the highlight of the trip. And really enjoyed that. Probably the best workout I've had in a long time.
I can imagine. You know, it's interesting. You know, during the winter, I typically am in the gym. And
mm-hmm.
You think you're working out really hard, you're doing a lot, and then spring comes along, you get outside, and you realize it was nothing.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. That's what it was like with running, because I was doing it on the treadmill, and we got a treadmill at the house. And I was doing it on that treadmill, and then one day I'm just like, you know what, I'm going to go outside and go down the road. It's a beautiful night, it's not too dark yet, and I'll just go down the road and see how far I can go. And we've got a lot of really big hills on our road, and it's a dirt road. And I'm running, and I'm like, man, I like this better. And it kicked my butt. It did real big time. But I started doing it outside just from then on. And now I just can't go back to the treadmill.
I completely understand that. Well, I'm going to say another important aspect of this is not just the exercise, but you got to fuel your body as you're doing it. You know, and I oftentimes forget to eat before I work out, and it's definitely become a problem at times where I'm coming back into my ride and about halfway back, and I'm like, oh, now I have no more energy.
Yeah, you know, I just prefer going outside. And I know I'm going to miss it because it's getting cold here already. And I have a feeling that we're going to get snow early. And I'm not looking forward to that.
Are you going to run in the snow?
I will run until I slip and fall. You know, if the ground isn't too slick and there's not too much snow, I'm sure I could run in it. Speaking of food, I guess, how was your eating this past week?
Pretty good. I actually tend to stick into a lot of routine. You know, I try to bust out of it, but I typically eat in a routine. But I did try something a little different. I love brats. And for those of you who aren't from the Midwest, maybe, mm-hmm. Brats are basically like a sausage, but they're just amazing things. Think of just a big, huge hot dog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love brats. You know, I hated brats when I was a kid. But, like, 2 or 3 years ago, we were like, let's get some brats. And we bought some brats. And, oh, my gosh, it's so good.
You know, I actually grew up, I didn't eat brats because they were pork-based, and my family didn't eat pork.
Huh.
And so, actually, for a while, I was even a vegetarian and a vegan when I was younger. So
wow.
I didn't meet brats until, actually, I met my wife. And, there's no going back. What I tried this time, though, is I picked up some brats from a store. They're from Johnsonville. And I want to say they're turkey brats.
Mm. Oh, those are good.
And doing Weight Watchers, we do everything on points. Points are calculated out of different things. It goes fat, carbs, fiber, and protein. So it takes basically all the things that make up calories and converts them into a point system. And the nice thing about these is they're pretty low points.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm able to, you know, have a couple of them for lunch. I put a little sauerkraut on there, and, you know, what I love is Brussels sprouts. So I get I get these steamer bags of Brussels sprouts, and I steam them up, and if I actually mix them with the sauerkraut.
Mm-hmm.
And then I usually have some baked chips with it, and it's just a great meal.
Yeah.
So I definitely recommend the Johnsonville brats.
Yeah. Yeah, I like, they had the turkey brats. Those are really good. I haven't seen any that they have that aren't already pre-cooked, you know?
So these ones were already pre-cooked, but, you know, honestly, for me, that it's the convenience factor. Just dealing with things, and I can't really get outside to my grill as much as I would like to. I have a buddy of mine who lives up north, and he has a meat store in his town, and they make their own brats and different flavors all the time. They actually rotate their flavors. They have like 40 different types. So he was visiting not too long ago, and he actually brought them down. Best brats you've ever had. I mean, they're made with love is what it is.
But I
tried a gator brat made out of alligator.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Now, it had a really interesting flavor to it, and I also tried...
it was probably pretty gamey, right?
Not too bad. It was just kind of unique. It's hard to describe the flavor. It did not taste like chicken. But I also tried a Cuban brat. It was just like a Cuban sandwich. So everything you find in a Cuban sandwich, they put into this brat, and it was just amazing.
Was it spicy?
It wasn't too spicy. The Cajun brat that I had was spicy. I had that the next day. I didn't let him take him home.
Of course. They
had to stay with me.
He can get his own.
Exactly. What I liked about the Cajun is, you know, usually when you eat those things, you bite it, and then you get the heat, and then you don't really get the flavor.
Yeah.
But with these, you got the flavor and then the heat. So you could actually taste it as you're going, which is kind of a nice thing.
Hmm. Now, I've heard that alligator can be pretty good.
Oh, it's not the first time I've had it, though. I like gator.
Yeah, I've never had it. Someone that was talking on a podcast I was listening to before, there's a restaurant that he goes to that they sell a thing called alligator cheesecake.
Hmm.
And it's not actually cheesecake, it's more like a pot pie, but it's made with alligator.
Hmm.
And he just loved it. So
I'm pretty adventurous eater, so I would probably try it.
Yeah. You know, I've never been much of an adventurous eater. I find what I like and I stick with it.
Yeah, I'd say the most exotic type thing I ever had was bear. When I lived up in British Columbia. It is one of my favorite meats of all. It has a sweeter flavor like pork, but just totally different. It's just amazing.
Did you have any bad choices?
Well,
anything wrong?
I made some choices. One thing I really like, and that really has helped me lose the weight, is I'm not on a diet. I do not diet whatsoever.
I hate the word. Don't use it. I hate it.
I'm on a live it.
Yeah.
Never do anything that makes you die.
Exactly. Good point.
With Weight Watchers, nothing is off limits. I can eat whatever I want. I just have to take my points. Now, some things obviously cost more points than others. And one of the things I had is there's a pizza place here. It's a local one called Uno's, but it's not the chain named Uno's.
Okay, I was going to say, we get Uno's out here.
This is just a local restaurant, just one location. They make the best pizza that I've had in the Midwest. And I get a whole wheat crust on it, nice thick. They put lots of cheese and good stuff, and I had that this week. And that was not the best choice. It was one of those things I just didn't feel like cooking dinner, and I ate that, and it's just so full of salt and everything, and you just feel it right away.
Yeah.
But it's tasty, though. I will say that.
Yeah. Pizza, I mean, is it like the Chicago-style pizza as well as like the...
They do thin crust and like a deep dish, and we always get like that deep dish Chicago, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that deep dish Chicago stuff. I know, like the chain Uno's, one of their personal size pizzas is like something like 2,500 calories.
Oh yeah,
and I remember getting that a few years ago when I was trying to diet, and just looked at the calories and went, oh, I just ate all my calories for the entire day.
You know,
oops.
It's probably scary to think back of what you ate when you weren't watching. You know, I would eat a large pizza myself easily.
I actually did that at the beginning of my journey, probably back in, if I started in October, like the end of October last year, and then sometime in November, I had just kind of dropped off, but I kept logging my food. I kept logging what I was eating still. And there was one day where I just kind of stopped logging, but I'm like, oh gosh, I got to go back and log that. And I'm looking at all my totals, and like one day it's like 4,000 calories, and the next day like 4,500 calories. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then there's this one day where I just ate a ton of food during the day, and then we went out to Longhorn Steakhouse.
Oh, I love that place.
Me too. And I had the porterhouse, and I had the bread. And then I had the onion petals, and then I had the mac and cheese, and I followed that up with blackberry iced tea.
Yeah.
And the end of the day, I was at probably 6,500 calories that day.
Oh, I believe it.
And I was thinking about that. I'm like, on days that I go out to eat, that's what it's normally probably was always like. 6,500 calories is probably my norm. Even with days where I didn't go out to eat, that probably wasn't my norm. Because some days I'm like, oh, I'm going to go out to eat, and I'll eat a little less during the day.
and I would wager to bet you, just like me, didn't think you ate that much.
No, never did. I always had in my mind, I'm a bigger guy. I got to eat a little more.
I had a doctor tell me, oh, you know, you're probably eating too big a portion. No, I eat really small portions. But it wasn't true when I finally realized that. But I believed it. I believed I did not eat big portions.
Yeah. To me, it's like I always eat a little portion at dinner three times.
You know, there was a time I would have two or three dinners.
Yeah.
I'd eat dinner, and then a few hours later, I'm hungry.
Yeah, so I'd pull out the leftovers.
No, I'd go and get more dinner. There was never leftovers. So I have to go out to McDonald's to get more dinner. And a couple hours later, I'm hungry, so I start raiding the fridge, and, you know, maybe I'll make a pizza, you know. And I wonder how I got fat.
That, you know, I've done the same thing. I've done the back years ago where I was actually delivering newspapers full time. I would have dinner, and I'd go to bed, and I'd wake up, and as I was heading into work, I would stop off at McDonald's. Get something to eat, get a double cheeseburger and a drink or something, and a sweet tea and some fries, and then I would be headed back home, and I'd pass up Meijer, the grocery store.
Okay.
And sorry, I don't know if you have Meijer's.
No, I don't.
So I'd pass up the grocery store, and I'd go, you know what? They got those little Mama Rosa pizzas, 4-pack. Personal size pizzas. I'll just go pick one of those up. I'll eat one of those before I go to bed. Then I get home and I turn on the oven. I'm like, well, if I got the oven on, I might as well cook all four of them. And then I would eat all four of them and then go to bed.
Yep.
You know, it was terrible. Terrible, terrible for me. So, and now that I think about it, I pass those up. Like, every time I go to the store, I pass those up. I'm like, man, I miss those. And it's like, but I cannot even buy one package of that.
It's a trigger food.
It is.
You know, it's actually funny. There are some things that I just cannot have in my house, and one of them is SpaghettiOs. I love SpaghettiOs with meatballs.
Same here.
While on Weight Watchers, we tried having some in the house one time. They were gone the same day. Two, mm-hmm. I ate big cans of them, and I devoured them myself, and I cannot control myself. So you know what? They're not allowed in the house.
Same thing, ravioli, the Chef Boyardee ravioli, the SpaghettiOs.
But I see them in the store and I want them.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. I've always had the problem with ramen.
Oh, I used to eat a lot of ramen. I don't eat ramen anymore. I eat a lot of ramen.
I ate it so much and I was so lazy that I didn't even cook it.
Yeah, I've been there too.
Done it too?
Yep.
See?
Sprinkle the packet on there.
My wife has always thought I was crazy for doing that. I guess I was. But yeah, I would just I would take the cake.
Yep.
And I would sprinkle it on.
And then you eat it.
And just chow down.
It was really good.
Yeah, I agree. But it's, ever it's looked so at the sodium?
Oh, I know. It's so bad. I seriously, like, I think about that time when I used to do all of that, and I really regret that. And not just because of what, you know, what it's done to me health-wise, but just because it's like, oh, that's just so terrible for you.
Yeah.
So what? And it,
so what finally clicked for you? What was it that finally clicked and said, I need to do this?
Well, let's see. There was this moment last year, kind of back in the beginning of the year, and I was just, it was struggling just to play with my kids. And they're outside running around, and I'll be like, I'll chase you for a little bit. And a minute and a half later, all right, kids, I'm going to sit down. You keep playing. And it was kind of like, I don't want to be that dad who just lounges out in the couch on the chair while they're, you know, everyone in the house is doing stuff. And I don't want people to be like, oh, let's go visit Mike. He, you know, doesn't get out of the house much because he's so overweight. And I knew I was headed there if I didn't change anything. So I started using it, the app MyFitnessPal, and I was doing that for a bit, and I just couldn't get into it. I was logging my food, and I'd lost maybe 3 or 4 pounds, and I wasn't really eating healthy, and I felt like I was dieting, and I'm like, I don't want to eat this stuff. This is just all this diet food. I'm tired of it. And I just kind of dropped off, and that was probably about March or April of 2012. And then in October, there's a podcast I listen to called The Morning Stream, and they have this guy who comes on. They call him the Fitness Geek, and he talks about different things you can do to be a little healthier. And him always talking about all those different things kind of drilled itself in my mind. And then last October, a couple people that I've met through that podcast, they created a group on the app Lose It. And I hadn't used I had used Lose It a little bit, but I just didn't like it. And they were like, oh, no, it's really good. Try this out. And I got into it, and there is a community there. And that's what kind of clicked for me was there's these people, you know, I can help them out by learning things and teaching them. And they can help me out by teaching me stuff. And that's really what it was. And I've just been sticking with it. In April, I started to taper off and wasn't really logging everything. So I started creating these challenges so people have become to rely on my challenges. So now it's like, okay, now I got to do it. And that's what's just keeping me there. So.
Well, that's cool.
There wasn't any real moment where it was just like, I guess maybe it was that where it was like, just, I can't keep up with my kids.
I've been there, and I completely understand that.
Mm-hmm. And I should mention, for the podcast that people out there, I have 4 kids. I got an 11-year-old girl, 5-year-old boy, 4-year-old boy, and a 2-year-old boy. And at the time, last year, the 2-year-old was 1, and he was just starting to walk. And it was becoming, wow, this is tough. So, what about with you? What was that moment?
You know, for me, it was a lot of moments, I think, that just finally added up.
Yeah, exactly.
There were so many things I just couldn't do, you know, especially being, you know, close to 450 at times. You know, you can't, you cannot tie your shoe.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll be honest, I couldn't imagine being that big. I just couldn't.
I'll tell you the things you can't do. You can't tie your shoe. Yeah, I had to leave my shoe a little bit loose so I can just try and slip it on. There's a couple times I had to have my wife tie it for me, or I take my shoe off, tie it, put it back on the ground. It's hard to work your zipper, to be honest, when you're trying to go to the bathroom. You had to learn how to do it one-handed, which is difficult.
Wow.
You know, you can't walk upstairs. I had a man cave where we used to live, and it was down in the basement. Gorgeous place. I wish we still lived there. Mm-hmm. But it was downstairs, and I'd go down there, and I'd stay down there just for the simple fact that I didn't want to go back up those stairs.
because it was just that much work.
Wow.
You know, I was trying to get photography going, but nobody wants to hire you when you're that big.
No, exactly, exactly.
You know, you're sitting there after three steps.
Yeah, but they're thinking, oh, he's going to keel over and die if I hire him.
Exactly. You know, my mom died from her weight. She was probably close to 700-800 pounds. And I just saw myself inching closer and closer. I'd pretty much just given up, in fact. I just was waiting for it to happen where I wouldn't be able to get out of the house anymore.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to play with my son. And I, even in the living room, I couldn't play with him. I couldn't stay awake. I was falling asleep constantly because of my sleep apnea, which was so bad then. No matter how much I slept, I was still tired. Barely fitting in the car, the steering wheel would dig into my stomach if I tried to drive, so I let my wife drive mostly. And I don't remember where I got the idea for a bike. I do remember, though, what was the final straw. I read a story about this guy. I can't remember his name offhand, but he started at around 500 pounds or so. The doctors gave him, you know, 6 months to live, maybe a year. And he started riding a bike, and he biked himself thin, basically. And I thought to myself, well, if he did it, why can't I?
Yeah.
You know, with my mom dying a few years before that, you know, my weight just going up and up. I can't play with my son. My wife and I, you know, it was hurting our relationship because I'd sleep in the basement. She's upstairs. I'm sleeping down in the basement almost every night just because of the fact I don't want to go back upstairs. You know, and I'm getting depressed, and it's definitely rubbing off, and it just finally clicked that something has to be done. Yeah. And I didn't join Weight Watchers. I'd done Weight Watchers in the past, but I was never committed. So I lost, you know, 10 pounds, and that's about it. My wife was losing more than me. And so I was like, oh, I'll try Weight Watchers again because I wasn't into the biking anymore, and I knew I needed to do something. And the first week I lost like 8 pounds. Great. You know, you have all that water weight you lose.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The next week I gained like 3 pounds. And that's because I wasn't tracking. I wasn't. And after that, something really did click, and I became focused. I knew that nothing's going to happen if I don't do it. If you don't put the effort in, you're not going to get the reward afterwards.
Yeah.
So for me, that it was a lot of moments that clicked together that finally has helped me. And like, I've been losing, and definitely I can tell my life has definitely improved.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten to that point where I'm not worried about what I look like right now. It's just a matter of making sure I just keep going.
Yeah.
Keep logging. Keep
just keep healthy. Swimming.
Exactly. Just keep swimming. Yeah. But that's my, you know, and I know that, you know, all this weight loss isn't, it's not a quick thing. Anything that says it's got to be quick is lying. And I know, you know, it's probably going to be maybe another year or another 2 years before I finally get to that body where it's, well, this is what I was looking for when I first started. Or, honestly, right now I look in the mirror and I look at myself and I'm like, man, I look good. I like the way I look right now, but it's still not where I want to be.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of the hard parts, too, is I wanted that instant weight loss. I wanted that instant gratification. I had done something called MediFast in the past. And I lost, like, 40 pounds in, like, 3 months, you know. Especially that first month, I was just losing and losing. It felt great. You're on cloud nine. Of course, the moment you stop doing that, you gain back twice as much. So I gained back 80 pounds when I stopped. And I wanted those instant results, and I wasn't getting it the first time I did Weight Watchers. But what's interesting is my first month of my first 3 or 4 months of doing Weight Watchers, I lost 40 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kept it off because it's livable.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they've been going on for so long, you know. What was I going to say? I can't remember what I was going to say.
Sorry, you can go ahead.
MetaFast, that's kind of like the Nutrisystem type thing.
Same idea. They give you all the foods basically that you have to eat, and it's really restrictive. 5 of these things a day, and then 1 lean and green, and you know, it got old. It got old really quickly.
Yeah, I was say, I imagine that would get old because I like just I like to cook and
I like to eat.
Yeah, if all I have to do is pull out all these things and say, "Oh, my meals are all set," because I mean, I guess part of some of the issues I've had in the past were because I liked eating all those convenience foods, but when it comes to like being healthy, one of the things I found best about eating healthy is coming up with recipes that are healthy and cooking and doing all that. And I love that. Like tonight I made a broccoli cheese soup. The last time I made it, the calories were, they were all right. They were a little high because, you know, you got milk and you got butter
and cheese.
You got cheese, mostly cheese, cheese and more cheese and more cheese and a little bit of broccoli for a flavor. Well, this time around, I'm like, I want to do a little different. I kept the butter because I didn't have anything else really to replace it with here at the house. And so I'm like, I'll just use the butter. It's not gonna be that bad because it's a stick and a half, which is a lot of butter. But when it's 18 servings for the whole thing. So, but instead of using regular milk, I used almond milk. And almond milk has 30 calories for a cup.
Yeah.
Whereas milk has like 120, something like that. So it's a big difference in the milk alone. And then I also used, what else did I use? There's something I used that replaced milk and, yeah, I can't remember. But I still used regular cheese. And, you know, I just made it all like normal. And I haven't figured out all the calories yet, but I think it's probably about 250 calories for each bowl.
Huh.
And that's really good. I was gonna say, I know you do everything by points.
It's all the same thing, really.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the 250 calories is great for a soup. And
that would come out probably to about 2 points. Roughly.
It was low sodium because the recipe called for a full teaspoon and I added barely a half a teaspoon.
Yeah.
So it's a lower sodium and oh that's what I did. Okay, so the recipe called for chicken broth. Well, over the past like year, I have been saving all of my freezing and saving all of my vegetable chopping stuff, like the ends of things, like the end of the onion that you don't use, and some carrot parts that you don't use, and just celery and stuff like that. Just keeping it all in this bag, and then I will boil it and create vegetable stock.
Hmm.
And I had some vegetable stock still frozen, and so I pulled that out and I used that. And I don't add any sodium to it, so there's no sodium. It's low fat, low sodium, high fiber.
Can't beat that.
I use that instead. And that, I mean, the calories for that have got to be, you know, probably 1/4 of what the chicken stock would have been.
Exactly.
So,
how have your kids adapted to the changing and eating?
My kids love vegetables. I can set a plate with a huge, you know, ton of meat and then a ton of broccoli, and they'll eat all the broccoli and then won't even touch the chicken. You know? And it seems like the better it is, the more they like it.
Good.
So, you know, what I think it is the way they will adapt later in life is that they're going to see that I eat like that still. And they'll continue. So, they're adapting just fine. The thing they don't like is anything that has sauce in it.
Hmm.
And my kids were never dippers.
My son's the same way, actually. He doesn't like sauce. Right. Yeah.
I was going to say, push the dipping on them. I know a lot of people are like, oh, your son, oh, my kid won't eat anything that's not dipping, that they don't dip it in. But honestly, I think that's why my kids don't like spaghetti. It's because they never dipped when they were kids, and we were always like, oh, they're not a dipper, so we're not going to do it.
Right.
You know. But I don't know. I'm starting to get them to like stuff. I made some chili last week, and I get to that point where I tell them, you like it. And they're like, no, I don't like it. No, remember the last time? last time you ate it, you said you liked it, even though they've never really had it, you know? And they'll be like, oh, yeah, well, let me just try it. And then they end up liking it, so. Yeah. But chili, it went over pretty well, as long as I gave them crackers to eat it with, so. That's how I am. I gotta have crackers with my chili.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, we gotta start moving on here. Yeah. So, okay, so my food last week, I ate pretty bad, mainly the past weekend. Last week I had some fried chicken, and then for dessert my mom made this pecan caramel pie. And this is probably the worst thing about living with my mom, is that she will come just out of nowhere, come home and just make the most amazing, beautiful, high calorie, high carb, high everything, great dessert. And I have to eat it, you know. It's like, I got it. I got to have a piece of this. And then just a little bit, like, I'll just have a tiny bit. I have the calories for it. 3 hours later, oh, why'd I do that? And that's what I did last week. I had some fried chicken, and I love her fried chicken. She did it in the style of my grandma. And I, you know, you don't get my grandma's since she passed away, so. But I felt the whole day, the next day, I just felt terrible. I was bloated and just in the bathroom constantly.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you eat as much as you would have before?
No.
So even though you're making maybe not the healthiest choice, you still did make a healthy choice.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I did. I still, I mean, I shouldn't have ate what I did, but if I wasn't there, I probably would have eaten the entire pan of that pie.
So it's definitely a positive.
Yeah, it's definitely a positive. And that's something I have noticed about my eating habits, that even, and I think that's why I'm maintaining right now, is that when I do bad, I don't do bad like I used to do bad. So you're
training yourself, basically.
Yeah. So I've done, just this past week I did pretty bad. We were all right on our trip. We ate pretty good. We went to this place called Dixie Stampede. And they gave you just, we actually made sure that we ate just next to nothing for the most of the day. Just little stuff here or there, a sandwich with almost nothing on it. Because when you get there, this is literally the menu. A tender, whole rotisserie chicken. And by the way, that was the saltiest chicken I've ever tasted, but it was amazing. a hickory smoked barbecue pork loin. It was just like a little piece of ham, but it was still good. Creamy vegetable soup. A homemade biscuit, but the biscuit was the Red Lobster garlic cheddar biscuit.
Those are the best.
Oh, yeah. corn on the cob. Herb-basted potato. And then they brought out an apple tort for that. And they only had... they didn't have much choices as far as drinks because they had just really pop. And I'm like, oh, wait, I'll drink pop. And I basically quit drinking pop when I started, starting to eat healthy. And honestly, when I was losing weight before, but when I stopped drinking the pop, I lost even more. And I've always drank diet pop. I don't drink regular pop. So when I quit drinking pop, it wasn't the calories, it was the water weight from all the sodium.
Yeah. Before I started doing things, I could go through a 12-pack of Mountain Dew in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Mountain Dew, and I had one not that long ago. I took two sips, and that was all I could stomach, and I spit it out. It was so disgusting.
Mountain Dew is really bad, because they have that, what was it called, brominated?
Yeah. They have something there. I think it's crack. Yeah.
They have something called brominated vegetable oil. And that it is used for, what was it used for? Like, they use it for drinks. But there's something, where is it?
But yeah, they got some pretty nasty things in there.
Oh, okay, it's yeah. The bromine itself is used for, oh, shoot. I'm sorry. I'm trying to read this. Yeah, basically, I think it's like, it's an acidic type of, Oh, okay, flame retardant. That's what it is. It's used as a flame retardant. It's used as a gasoline additive, a pesticide, and...
And in Mountain Dew.
And, yeah, and in Mountain Dew. So, I mean, come on, really?
Yeah.
What are they trying to do to you? Trying to kill us is what they're trying to do, so... But we did, yeah, our eating was pretty good until our trip home. And coming back down from the mountains, we just, I don't know what it was. Maybe we just started eating something. So, okay. So that's my goal for this week is to eat better. In fact, just tonight I ate a little crappy. Even with the good soup, I still ate a little crappy. So, okay, so how is Weight Watchers going with you?
Oh, it's going pretty well. I weigh in on Wednesdays, so I'm down 2 pounds this week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, honestly, I was surprised. You know, the problem with home scales is they're never accurate.
Mm-hmm.
It was showing me being up, actually, about 4 pounds.
Oh.
So it was going to put me back over the 300 mark, which I just finally got past. And that was a big struggle. Between 315 and 300, my weight loss just slowed down to a crawl. I was even having a few gains. It was about the time I found out my wife was pregnant. She couldn't do Weight Watchers anymore, and I think it was just that transition period for me to having to do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
But it went pretty well. I got a bike ride in today. I did not get my 10 miles, though. I got about 6 3/4. And, you know, that's okay, too. You know, I shoot for the 10. If it happens, it happens. But the point is, you know, I'm getting out there. I'm biking. I'm moving. But the nice thing about Weight Watchers is you earn points back for exercise. They're called activity points.
Yeah, that's where it's basically just like calories because you know, if you burn off those points, you earn those points.
Exactly.
If you burn off calories, you earn those calories.
I sometimes wear a heart rate monitor, which is nice because 80 calories basically comes out to one activity point.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that trip to the Galena. I burned that day about 3,200 calories.
I was going to say probably more than what I'm supposed to eat in the day.
Yeah, you know, I burned more than what my body would burn if I just sat there lying in bed all day.
Yeah. Wow.
So, you know, you get those activity points. Those are definitely nice throughout the week. But, yeah, Weight Watchers is going good. I love it. I always tell people about it. But, you know, really what it is finding what works for you and sticking with it. You know,
exactly.
Staying away from these fad diets like juicing and all this, just going with a basic healthy meal, small portions, get some exercise, and you'll lose weight.
Yeah, exactly. That's you know, when I found Lose It and I realized, you know, it wasn't about me doing this alone and, you know, not having support. It was like, okay, now I have support for some people that I'm meeting and, you know, they're helping me out. I'm helping myself out through that. And, you know, people hold me accountable. A few times people are like, hey, you haven't logged in a few days. What's going on? And I'll be like, crap, you're right, I'm sorry. And I mean, even this weekend I didn't log in at all. And I didn't even log in today. Which is bad because the challenge that I run in there for everybody is a challenge to log every single day for the whole month.
Yeah, with Weight Watchers you have to track. And I can say one thing I'm proud of. It going all the way back to that second week of Weight Watchers where I had that gain, I didn't track that week. I have not missed a day of tracking since. And so that's close to a year now that I have not missed a day of tracking. And that is one of the number one things that contribute to my weight loss. It's that accountability. No matter how bad my day was, I had times where I came out negative even after my extra 49 weekly points. I still tracked it, had the accountability, and moved on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what it's about. Hold yourself accountable, and if you need it, find people to hold yourself accountable.
So have you come across any good health tips?
Yes. I have a health tip. Drink lots of water.
Yes.
It's probably one of the best health tips I can give. I mean, it is essential to everything we do. I mean, not only does it prevent dehydration, but it also removes that all that excess sodium you're getting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're supposed to get about 2,500 milligrams of sodium in a day. And if you drink a couple pops, soda, sorry for everybody out there, soda, you know, you've got that just from the drinks.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, water cannot be overemphasized.
And just turn around, drink as much water as you can. Someone, my old chiropractor once told me, he said, just drink tons of water. And, you know, they always say, drink this suggested amount, but don't stop there. Just keep drinking it. You're going to pee like crazy, but that peeing is essential to your weight loss. Pee off the pounds.
Yeah.
That's what he told me, pee off the pounds.
You know, I have something really obnoxious. I have a couple glasses that I use for water. Now, I bought these when I turned 21 for beer. These are actually beer mugs. I got them from Walmart. They will hold 2.5 bottles of beer.
Wow.
Just to give you the size of them.
Yeah.
And I try to, my goal is to drink 2 to 3 of those a day.
Okay.
Usually with each meal, I try to drink one. So, well, it's not usually breakfast. Breakfast, I have to have my coffee.
Yeah.
With a toddler, I need my coffee.
That's one thing I'm not cutting out. I'm restricting it to 1 to 2 cups.
I drink mine black, though.
Yeah, I would say you're probably better than me because I add the creamer and I add, I use stevia for the sweetener. Go ahead.
I always was told that if you don't drink it black, then you really don't like coffee.
You know, you got a point, and I think I'm going to try. I actually just ran out of my creamer, and I think I'm going to try to do it without the creamer because obviously the calories are a lot less, and there is sodium in that creamer, and, you know, I just got to get it out of my life.
But, yeah, going back to the water and the sodium, you know, it just
– yeah.
That is something that's really important in weight loss. And, you know, if
yep.
This may sound a little TMI, but your urine should be clear.
Yep.
It should be yellow. It shouldn't have any strong smells to it. It should be clear.
Yes, exactly. On The Biggest Loser, they said it's got to be like a very light lemonade, not like a ginger ale.
Yeah.
You know, when you go from drinking tons of soda to none at all, and then you see the difference, it's like, oh my gosh! And that's how I always gauge it. It's like, I've got too much sodium. It's really dark.
I do know another trick to tell if you've gotten most of your sodium out.
Mm-hmm.
It's while you're working out.
Yeah.
So as you're working out, you're sweating, right?
Yep.
Just take a little bit of that sweat and taste it.
Taste it. Yep.
If it tastes salty, you have too much sodium.
I actually did that on our second hike. I was hiking and I was sweating like crazy. And I just tasted it. I wasn't trying to. It just got in my mouth.
Yep.
I'm like, oh my gosh. That is the saltiest sweat I've ever tasted. Yep.
But if you're getting your water in and then you're watching your sodium, it will taste like nothing.
Exactly. And so that's the best thing I can think of, is to get water.
I think it's about time to wrap it up for today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely went a little bit over. So thank you all for listening to this. Sorry if it's a little too long.
Hopefully you made it to the end.
So next week we will discuss a little bit about our trip a little more, about what we're planning. And but right now, I know, Micah, you've got a blog. Do you want to pimp that?
Yep. It's Big Boned Biker, one word, .wordpress.com. And that's one I started from the day I bought my bicycle. Actually, a couple days before.
Okay. Yep. And I have my blog. It's called raising4kids.blogspot.com. And that's RAISING. And then the letters for the number 4. So FOUR, kids. So raising4kids.blogspot.com. You can also find me on Twitter. I am StarMode6. If you are on Lose It, you can look me up. My name is Michael Andrews, Jr.
If you have any questions in the meantime and you want to know something more, just feel free to get a hold of us.
So, thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Our theme music is by John Anelio, and you can download it for free at johnanelio.com.